We'll begin with the action that's just completed at Murrayfield, Scotland, taking on France. Scotland winning 32-26. Tell us more about it, please.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, and you'd have to say at the end, Scotland's discipline got them through. Second half, they put a lot of pressure on, and John Lacey was really left with no real choice but to award penalties. And Greg Laidlaw, there's no better man from 40 metres to put the points over, and 32-26, you know, a tremendous result, and they're absolutely delighted. They're listening to them being interviewed after the game, because, I mean, they did take quite a hammering last week at Cardiff, and, you know, to come back from that there will make a big difference. It also means, of course, that one of the great nations that used to be in the Six Nations, France, have now lost two games in the trot. And believe it or not, Mays, the first score that they got was almost, I don't know whether you saw it or not, but almost a replica of the score that nearly beat Ireland last week from Teddy Thomas. A long kick downfield, he went round the person trying to chase him, cut back in field, a couple of tackles slipped off him, and then he went at the post. And I mean, at one stage then, they kicked a penalty, so Scotland found them 10 points to nil down. But the Gregor Townsend game, as I call it, keeping the ball on the move, and they scored two very good tries. And in the second half, they really fronted up. Their front five were tremendous carrying the ball, but it was their offloading skills and behind the scrum, the way they moved the ball. Every time Hogg got the ball, he posed problems, the two wingers, Maitland and Tommy Seymour. But up front, I thought Johnny Gray and his other second row partner were absolutely superb, and as I say, a very good result for them, and they'll now look forward to the old enemy coming to Murrayfield in a couple of weeks' time, and it'll be interesting to hear now who Eddie Jones picks on next for how the Scottish team to start a bit of a slagging after his Reece Patchell won before the Scottish game, but it'll be interesting to see, and as I say, I would think Scotland will very much up for this one, and it'll let us see just how good our England.
They had a few problems with their front row the last day against Wales. Did they have some players back for today?
No, it's just more or less the same. The young Batty came on in the second half. In fact, the scrums were pretty even in the first half. Scotland actually got two penalties from scrums going forward. No, the scrum caused no problems at all, and I would think they'll take great confidence from that, because, I mean, if there's any part of the French game that's good, it's the scrummaging, and certainly the front row were very, very good today. The Scottish scrum was very solid and very stable, and Laidlaw had plenty of time to get the ball away, and I think it'll, as I say, the England game now, they'll have a bit of confidence in that one. And it's hard to know, because you probably may have seen Miles. I was driving back from Dublin listening to the game yesterday, and the thing about the try that was or wasn't, I mean, I honestly believe that 90, if you showed that to 900 people, I would think 95% of them would say it was a try. Of course, Eddie Jones, if anybody's interested to hear an interview, which is unbelievable, it's the one he did in Five Live. I actually heard it live, and you know, you talk about somebody who can actually—he's asked a question, all of a sudden he's talking in a different hemisphere. But you know, that's typical Eddie Jones. He was asked, "Was it a penalty or was it a try?" His answer was, "I don't know. I don't look at these things." I'm sure if it had been the other way around, we might have heard a wee bit more from him.
He might have seen it then, all right. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're talking about the Welsh try that wasn't in the game Twickenham yesterday, where England defeated Wales 12 points to 6. Wales would have claimed that their winger got his finger on the ball and had downward pressure on it, but it wasn't given.
No, it's quite strange. Again, you know, it was a TMO, I think, to be quite honest. The referee was in a bit of a position, of course. At the end of the day, I mean, the referee, had he wanted, he could have overruled the TMO, but with all the things it showed. But to be honest with you, I mean, they showed it, and it was very difficult to see how it was. And I doubt if there was anybody on the ground, apart from Eddie Jones. Well, he didn't actually say whether he thought it was a try or not. He probably knew. But it was one of those things that if Wales had actually scored then, it would have been very interesting just to see how the game panned out. Possibly had they scored there, and England might have come back and scored another try, who knows. But you know, it's a body blow at that particular part of the game. Whenever, you know, it would have made the game 12-11, and with a conversion to come, who knows what would have happened.
Okay, let's turn our attention to where you're coming from yesterday, the Aviva Stadium. Ireland 56, Italy 19. Ireland getting their bonus point from their 8 tries. But overall, what did you think of the Irish performance?
Well, the first half was excellent, Miles, and unfortunately, when I say unfortunately, I mean, it was interesting, you know, but Tadhg Furlong had to go off after 3 minutes. To me, it looks as if, apparently, it was a slight hamstring pull, which maybe might not be that serious. But young Andrew Porter, who you've heard me talk about away back in the under-20s team, come on, and you know, this young guy's only 23, but I mean, his scrummaging yesterday was absolutely superb, and you know, he has all-round play, and that's a real bonus to have him coming on in a team that's going so well. Smith made quite a lot of substitutions with them all, but of course, but he made you know, even two at half time. But the first half I thought was very clinical, in a sense that you know, Ireland knew what they were doing. Interestingly, that Warburton today said that he feels that they are the team to beat at the moment. You know, 28 points up at half time, 4 converted tries, and really Italy at that stage had very little to offer. Second half, I mean, Ireland then went into a 42-0 result, eventually scoring 8 tries. I mean, Robbie Henshaw, unfortunately, it looks quite a serious shoulder injury. Smith said it might not be too bad, but when you saw him going off and the pain he was in, you'd have to wonder, how can you take physical contact in 14 days? Stockdale, once again, the first try was pretty easy for him, but the second one, you know, he had a chance of passing the ball inside, but he's got that confidence just to go. The one downside, Miles, I think, and I didn't see too many of the papers today, but I imagine it was mentioned, was the fact that Ireland leaked 3 tries.
Yeah.
That would be slightly worrying to Joe Smith and worrying to supporters, because think back to the Argentina game, which at half-time was virtually won. And again, Argentina were allowed to come back and to score the tries. I mean, Italy opened up the Irish defence up very badly, and had it not been for a magnificent cover tackle from Keith Ayres, you often see somebody chasing, but I mean, Ayres' cover was absolutely brilliant. 60 metres, I think he must have went. That would have been a 4th try. That's the one downside, but I suppose that's been critical at a very high level. But nevertheless, Miles, I mean, when you're playing against Scotland, Wales and England now in the next 3 games, you can't afford slack defence.
That is exactly true. Now, they did have Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton off the pitch at that stage. So, I suppose they are able to control the game. We keep hearing about controlling the game, and maybe Conor Murray in particular being able to control games. There's obviously something there that maybe the layman just wouldn't see from a rugby point of view.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wasn't given man of the match, Miles, for no reason. I mean, this guy is, I mean, he's just a colossus. I mean, there's no doubt he's probably, without doubt, the best scrum half in the world, and he showed that on the Lions Tour as well. But as you say, it's the control he shows, but it's not only just his passing, his kicking, it's his tackling. It's everything. The man, you know, he's like a ninth forward at times, because he physically puts himself around very much, as does Johnny Sexton, to be fair, and that's probably one of the reasons for why Sexton probably picks up so many injuries. You know, to have two halfbacks who really are not scared of tackling and getting involved and at the breakdown is a great bonus for any side. But I think it was maybe a case, you know, Kane Marmion come on, and I've said to you before, Miles, and I don't mean this in any bias at all, because he actually is a Leinster man. Personally, I think the second best scrum half in Ireland is John Cooney. I've watched him playing for Ulster this year, and the guy is absolutely superb. His all-round game is tremendous. He's quick with the ball. He's physically hard. And, you know, Marmion and McGrath are very much, for me, one-track ponies. You know, they get the ball away from the scrum, and there's never too much comes off them. I suppose if you're playing with somebody like Johnny Sexton, you don't have to worry about doing things. But he may get a chance on the Tour de Australia, but I think he's one guy for me that really has impressed a lot. The other guy we talked about, or I mentioned, was a bit disappointed, Jack Coonan, that didn't get on. Unfortunately, he got a bit of an injury, and he was playing really well at number 8 at that stage. And, you know, if he's fit for the next game, it's going to be very interesting to see CJ Standard. Him. I feel that he has got a wee bit more to offer. I know Standard's a big ball carrier, Miles, but sometimes just taking yourself under tackles all the time, you need more. If you watch Jack Coonan, he's very good at offloading the ball, you know, and that's very, very important. Yes, you like the physical stuff, but if you die with the ball every time, there's not much comes off it. But if you actually can take the tackle and then put somebody into space, that makes a lot. But again, it's a lovely thought for Smith to have all these particular people to have.
And maybe just mention Jordan Larmour. What did you think of his introduction and the new out half there as well.
Well, it was great to see Joey Carberry available. And, you know, because he's had a rough time since he's had that injury. He's obviously Sexton's understudy. And, you know, we've been lucky enough in the sense Sexton has had the two games. But, you know, there's three massive games coming up now against, you know, what, Wales, Scotland and England, you know, and there's going to be injuries in those games. Hopefully not, but they've been, with the law of averages made at international level, there are going to be injuries. So you need a number 10 that's playing well, and Carberry certainly has got that. That bit of game time yesterday will have done him no harm at all, and it's good for that. Larmour had one where we thought he was going to get a score. I mean, the dancing feet, absolutely amazing. But, you know, he's obviously a lot to learn yet, in a sense, but, I mean, it's great that he got that bit of confidence. I would have liked to seen him actually come on at full back, but then the trouble was he may well have come on full back, but I suppose the fact that injured to Henshaw, which meant that Keith Ayres had to go in the centre, stopped that from happening.
Yeah, that obviously was the situation. Okay, well, would you see many changes for the Irish team against Wales in a couple of weeks' time?
Well, a little depend on injuries. I mean, Tag Verlon, if it's only a slight hamstring strain, I would have thought he possibly could be, but to be fair to young Andrew Porter, I mean, he has done so well. Of course, there's Dave Ryan as well, and we tend to forget about the young boy from Connacht who did so well against the All Blacks, Finlay Beelum. So, you know, he's back playing, so there is a big choice for Joe Smith to have. Jack McGrath is against Cian Healy. It's interesting who would start that, but McGrath certainly set the ceiling again. I don't know, you remember the tackle he put in?
Oh, yeah, he played very well.
Yes, he did. He certainly said in that one. Obviously, in the second row, will he go with young James Ryan and Devon Toner, or will he go with Toner and Henderson? Or, you know, again, that's a nice one. The player I thought yesterday, although reading the papers today, they said he had a solid game. The player yesterday, might believe it or not, and I rarely have anything critical to say about him, as you all know, the player who I didn't see much of yesterday was Peter Mahoney, but maybe he was doing a lot of work we didn't see. You know, he wasn't used that much in the lineup, but I had to keep looking to see if he was playing because I didn't see so much of him. Leamy actually showed up much more in the loose and the breakdown. But again, O'Mahony does all the dirty work, and maybe that's the problem. When you don't sort of stand out, people don't see you.
Well, I was happy with his performance in that.
No,
there were some very, very good tackles, and also using his strength to push people back, which is very impressive.
Oh, I mean, this is it, you know. I suppose maybe what I'm saying is that, you know, because he's not a show pony, then
correct,
you don't sort of see him too much. And in fact, you know, believe it or not, as you well know, when you're watching the game from a distance, you don't see that breakdown work of which you see much closer up on television.
Uh-huh.
You can see the work that they do. But, I mean, the fact that he's come through unscathed and has no injuries. But knowing Smith, I can't see too many changes. Rob Kearney's back to what he was like. Still, he's not the Rob Kearney, of course, of 4 years ago, but he's, I think if you look at it, there's nobody I can see that you would put in for him. And
very dependable.
Very solid on the high ball. And
yeah.
Against the next three teams, against Wales, England and Scotland, you need a big man at 15 because when you watched Farrell playing yesterday, the game at Twickenham, if it is for everything, or even if it's not, you can be sure that Ford and Farrell are going to be putting the high bombs up against them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's turn to the Pro 14 situation, and surprise, surprise, all Irish provinces winning, with the exception of Leinster, who went down 29-24 to Edinburgh.
Yeah, Edinburgh are doing reasonably, are going very well at the moment, and you know, that was one that it's very an interesting one, because I watched today, Miles, earlier on. Benetton beat the Scarlets quite convincingly, 21-10. So that means that the two top sides in that section of Ulsters were both beaten. Now, Scarlets and Leinster play next week, so one of those teams are going to lose. Edinburgh come to the Kingspan or Ravenhill, and I mean, I think this is possibly the biggest game of the season for Ulster. If Ulster can win that game against Edinburgh and go 7 or 8 points clear, and then make up 4 points on either Scarlets or Leinster, it would be a massive result for them. And certainly it'll be interesting to see. They did beat the Southern Kings by 59 points to 10, but I wouldn't really read too much into that. The only thing, the downside, was that George Pilato Reedy and young Nittolo came off with injuries. Pilato looks to me, it looked like ribs, and if that's the case, he could be out for long enough, unfortunately. But those two games next week, the Scarlets playing Leinster and Edinburgh playing Ulster, you know, are almost 8 pointers if you look at the table as it stands. As you say, Connacht, a good home result against the Ospreys, 26-15, but they really, unless something happens, are going to be out of the playoffs. And then Munster had a very easy result at home against Sebree, 33-5. So they're well in contention for that playoff. But as I say, those two games next week, Miles, Friday and Saturday, will be very interesting just to see what the table looks like, because Ulster still have to play the Scarlets during the international break. And as you know, the Scarlets have got a lot of players who are involved in the Welsh squad. That's the way this Pro 14 goes. And interesting to see that Mr. Farrell is going to be coming to Ulster at the end of the Six Nations to give a hand to John O'Gibbs, so might not be a bad thing.
Might not be a bad thing, is right. Just turning to the ladies, today in Donnybrook, Ireland defeated Italy 21 points to 8, so they seem to be, you know, improving since the World Cup.
Oh yeah, I mean that the game against France, you know, France are last week are a big side, and you know there's been a lot of changes in personnel from the World Cup, and the fact that they changed the coach, and then there was a bit of a, you know, should they be professional, was there enough money being put into ladies rugby, which I think they should, because I mean ladies rugby to watch, I mean I think it's fantastic. The skill levels of some of the players is amazing, and I think it a lot of club players that wouldn't relish the fact Miles have been involved in a game with them, but that's another story.
It sure is. Let's look at the local scene. Any results from locally?
Yeah, well, it's a significant result in a sense from City of Derry's point of view. As you know, they don't have any points. But yesterday there was a game was played. It was postponed because of the weather conditions. Dungannon and Harlequins. Harlequins beat Dungannon yesterday 22 points to 10. So that gave them 4 points, and that means now that City of Derry are sitting on 0. Harlequins have got 11 points, and Sunday's Wells, the third team from the bottom of 21. So you have to say, I mean, City of Derry technically are going to be relegated, because unless they were to win 3 games out of the last 5, which I think is, especially going to Old Crescent next week, I would think it's going to be very difficult. I would think that's sort of that result yesterday, even though possibly it wasn't going to happen anyway. No, to be 11 points now clear, Harlequins will probably feel slightly better about that one. The Rugby Championship 1, Corian, they had a good home result against Portadown, won by 16 points to 10. And Limavady, as I say, their resurgence since Christmas has been very, very good. They travelled to Lisburn yesterday and won 27-19. So I think that's 5 or 6 in a row for them. And they've certainly gone up that table. In the Rugby Championship 3, Saban were home to Lurgan, who are the top side and unbeaten, and they lost out 29 points to 0. I'm told it's a weakened team, but I don't know about that one. In the Rugby Provincial 2, Derry Seconds, they lost out to Thirds by 32 points to 10. And in the regional games, Strabane beat Derry 27 points to 0. And then Inishowen, I think that's their second defeat of the season. They lost 20 points to 12 at Inishowen, or sorry, at Ballymoney. So that's it, Miles. Next week, pardon me, with the break in the Six Nations, there'll be the All-Ireland League and back to the games and all. But I suppose everybody now will be thinking in terms of Wales coming to the Aviva now in 2 weeks' time. And that, again, I mean, it's the last 3 games for Ireland are really tough games. But having 2 at home, and, you know, if they can build on what they had yesterday, let's hope that everything works well. But who knows? I mean, it's when you saw the bounce of the ball today for the France second try, I mean, it lets you see, you know, and when you see the decision on the touchdown that Wales didn't get, you know, who knows? The Triple Crown could be won or lost, Miles, on a very controversial try.